So we discussed last time, the Gemara told us that there were different opinions of when Rav, remember this? There's a machlokas in the Mishnah, how can the schach be lamalam yesrim? So who says what, remember? So the Tanakama means the majority opinion, the Rabbanon in general. So that opinion held the schach cannot be lamalam yesrim. And Rabbi Huda is the one that says it can. So Rav comes along with a Chiddush, and Rav says, three different versions of exactly what Rav said, but Rav says that that machlokas is only in a particular situation. But there is another situation in which everyone will agree the schach can be l'mala meyesrim. Well, what's that situation? And there are three different versions of what Rav said. So what were the three? Can anyone spell them out? Yeah. Okay, that was the second one. Okay. That's the third one. The walls do not reach the schach. So if the walls reach the schach, it could be higher. If the structure itself is more than 4x4 amos, it could be higher. The third opinion is, if the walls are more than 7x7 tvachim, as we'll see, that's not the way the Gemara says it, but that's what it ends up being, is that if it's more than 7x7 tvachim, so Rosh Uru Shechonai, so also it could be higher than 20. So those are the three opinions we saw. Then the Gemara quotes a brisa. We didn't really understand why the Gemara is quoting this brisa. It's when Rabbi Huda responds to the Rabbanan. What's wrong with you people? Everybody knows a sukkah can be higher than 20 amos. Everybody knows a story about the Rabbanan that came to the sukkah of Heleni on Malka, and her schach was crazy high. And the Rabbanan didn't say a word to her, and everything she did, she did a pichachamim. So we know she had seven sons, and it had to be that at least one of them was old enough to be chayiv in the sukkah, at least in terms of chinuch. We learned from here, by the way, a very interesting chinuch point. I think the Ritva spells this out over here, that when it comes to the mitzvah of chinuch, your kid's old enough to shake a lulav and esrog. You have to buy him an esrog. Let's give him a lemon. He doesn't know the difference anyway. It's chinuch, right? It's just chinuch. Are you allowed to do that? Is the kid in a sukkah? Yeah, he's in a sukkah. Sukkah's pasul because his schach is too high. Are you allowed to do that? What's the difference? He knows he's in a sukkah. It's just chinuch. He knows he's in a sukkah. So what do you see from here? That you can't do that. That in order to fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch, he has to be sitting in a sukkah that's kosher. You hear the raya? No. Is this thing on? Say it again. The question is, that's a really important question, because it's going to save you a lot of money. If you have to buy your kids, and Mirtz Hashem, you'll have lots of them, you have to buy them a set of lulav, esrog, hadas, and aravos. I mean, this could run you a good $85. No, without anything. So, I got to buy that for each one of my kids to hold up to shake it?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a little adjust temperature. On the bottom, just adjust the temperature. So it's not so, yeah, because that way it'll still go on when it hits a certain temperature, but put it more towards the middle. Flip the bottom switch to the middle.
Got to know all these things when you have to pay for your AC.
Yeah, why you need the money saver?
Okay. So when it comes to the mitzvah of chinuch, maybe I should be allowed to buy my kid one of these $25 esrog sets. They're puzzle. You know, totally puzzle. But whatever. $25. So, I'm not going to miss our whole introduction. No cell phones allowed. The cubbies are over there for the phones.
I'm trying to get the Gemara sukkah because I
don't have Gemara. Okay. So, that's the shaila. If it's only chinuch, all my kid needs to know is that there's a mitzvah of lulav, esrog, and this is how you do it. But if it's kosher, how is he going to know the difference? Right? So I should be able to give him a lemon. It's a lot cheaper than esrog. So is that mutter, is that, are you allowed to do that? So I think the Ritva on the spot gives a raya from here. He says, well, let's think about what the Gemara says. Rabbi Huda says to the Chachamim, obviously this was a sukkah that was no good. And the Rabbanan said, no problem. But if it's no good, Agama says no problem. So Rabbi Huda says, obviously the sukkah was good. According to you, it's no good, rabbis. But according to me, that's fine. The sukkah was higher than 20. And you see from here, That's fine. Okay, now, how does Rabbi Yehuda prove it? Let's think this through, right? How did Rabbi Yehuda know that Sukkah was kosher? See, he says, because she had 7 kids, and she followed halacha. So it had to be that one of those 7 sons was old enough to be chayev in Sukkah. What, it was his bar mitzvah? It wasn't his bar mitzvah. How old is this kid? Probably 7. Maybe he's younger. Maybe she had triplets a couple of times. I don't know. But he's old enough that he doesn't need his mother anymore. He can sleep without his mother. So he's chayev to sleep in the sukkah. What do you mean he's chayev to sleep in the sukkah? Daraisa? Does a kid that's 3 years old have a mitzvah daraisa to sleep in the sukkah? Come on, guys. No. So what mitzvah is there? The mitzvah of chinuch. This is debatable. If the mitzvah of chinuch is a mitzvah that the katan somehow has on himself, how could that be? Pashm Shad is the mitzvah of chinuch is on the parents, right? The parents have a mitzvah to be machanech and children. Good? Okay, so it's a mitzvah on Helani Amalka to make sure that her children are in a sukkah and are being educated. But since the kids aren't really chayiv in sukkah deraisa, it's just chinuch. So what's the difference if the sukkah is the schach is l'mal miyasrim, l'mal miyasrim? What's the difference? Let it be l'mal miyasrim. Let it be a sukkah that's pasul. She's a woman. She's exempt from sukkah altogether. She's patura. So she doesn't need to be sitting in sukkah anyway. But she wants her kids to have chinuch for sukkah. So she's sitting in a sukkah that's technically pasul. But what's the difference? As long as the kids know they're doing the mitzvah, it's like giving him a lemon for an esrin. He knows he's shaking a little bit as he thinks it's an esrin. What's the difference? They think they're in a kosher sukkah. So isn't she yotze the mitzvah of chinuch? And Rabbi Huda says to the Rabbanon, obviously this had to be kosher. Because everything she did according to the Chachamim. Right? Did you get that last part? Rabbi Huda says to her, obviously this must be a sukkah that's kosher. Why don't the Rabbanon say, how do you know it's a sukkah? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. Because the kids just had chinuch. And when you're doing chinuch, it doesn't have to be a proper cheftzas ha-mitzvah. You hear what I'm saying? Maybe the sukkah could have been pasul. But she's fulfilling chinuch anyway. It's just chinuch.
Maybe that's the point.
Maybe that's the point. The Rabbanan don't answer that.
No, but if you're trying to do chinuch for your children, don't go and buy them like a fake lulav or a fake esrog.
Not only don't, but you can't.
Well, yeah.
Because if you could, then the Rabbanim would have responded to Rabbi Yehuda, how do you know it was kosher? Maybe it's pasul sukkah. And the Gemara says the reason that Rabbi Yehuda knew that this had to be kosher because one of those kids had to be old enough to be chayiv and chinuch. So you hear the raya? So from here you see that the mitzvah of chinuch has to be with a kosher chavtza, which means you have to buy your kid a real esrog that's kosher. Okay, anyway. So Gemara says, what was the scenario? This whole thing that her sukkah, that it was good, but the Rabbanan would say it's not, is in which one of those 3 scenarios? Well, it makes sense, according to the first one, that says the walls, if they don't reach the schach, so then your schach has to be 20 or less. Lamatamis. Because it makes sense that a queen would be sitting in a sukkah that's lots of air. But if everyone agrees, according to Rav, that once a sukkah is bigger than 4x4, or, come on, once a sukkah is bigger than 7x7, tfachim, so then the schach can be higher than 20, you really think that a queen is sitting in a sukkah that's 4 amas by 4 amas or less? You really think a queen is sitting in a sukkah that's 7 tfachim by 7 tfachim? That's absurd. So obviously, Rav must have been holding that first approach of Yoshia, and not the other two, that the sukkah can be higher if the sukkah is 4x4 amas or 7x7. That seems to be the agenda of the Gemara. So let's start at the top of Gilman Aleph. Mishum Avira. Makes sense that she would be in a sukkah where the walls don't reach the schach because of air. Elamand amr basukkah kitana machloikis. But according to the other 2 opinions, that Rav said the machloikis is when it's a small sukkah, but if it's a little bit bigger. And remember, there are 2 versions of that. 4x4, 7x7, tfachim. V'chidarka shel malka leshe besukkah ketana? You think that a queen is sitting in a tiny sukkah? It's absurd. It's ridiculous. Of course not. Amar Rabba bar Rav Ada le'nitzach el sukkah asiyah kitonias kitonias. You're right. It's necessary. It'll happen in a sukkah that's made what's called kitonias kitonias. Someone want to give me a nice English word for that? Small rooms. small areas. So this sukkah was a larger sukkah, for sure. But it had, like, rooms, you know? I mean, it's a cool sukkah. It's like one of those corn mazes. It's a corn maze sukkah. It had different rooms that you could go into. So what? So the room that she's in could be small. And could be too small to be a kosher sukkah if the schach is too high, according to the other two opinions. So then the Gemara says, what? The queen is sitting in this like tiny sukkah. With this, like, I mean, still, come on. She wants her space, you know? It's necessary because she could be sitting in this tiny room inside the whole sukkah. Okay, what? All the dust settles. What are we talking about? So take a look at Rashi, three lines down. That it's really a very large sukkah for her whole entourage. And she's sitting in, so to speak, her smaller throne room for tznius. She's sitting, right? Yasva, Yud Saf Beis Aleph, is Yashva. Because in Hebrew and Aramaic, one important letter that you'll see switching a lot is the Shin and the Saf. How do you say an ox in Hebrew? How do you say ox in Aramaic? Tura. Toro, you know. Tura. It's a Saf and the Shin are switching around. So that's what Rashi, he became Yasiva. She's sitting in the smaller room in her, so to speak, her small throne room at its knees. Gav the psula, and that specific area is a pasul sukkah because it's too small and the schach is too high. Lo ichbaslan, we don't care. The isha patura mina sukkah. Because a woman, she's exempt from sukkah. Okay, wait, but I thought the whole proof was the kids. Yeah, that's what Gemara says. Rabbanan savri, baneha besukkah ma'al yahavu yasevei. The Rabbanan thought, they assumed, it's really a question of history here, but the Rabbanan reasoned that she was in a small sukkah that was technically possible based on the height of the schach. But her kids, baneha besukkah ma'al yahavu yasevei, in a sukkah ma'al yahavu, that's good, they were sitting. In other words, she's sitting in her throne room in this little tiny area that's for tznius. But they were in the bigger area, so they're fine. Yasva is sitting, would sit, in the kitanius, in the smaller area, out of tznius. And that's why no one said anything to her, because Rabbanan didn't care that she was sitting in a sukkah psula. Rabbi Yehuda Sav, Rabbi Yehuda learned the whole history differently. Her children were sitting with her. And that area is too small for the schach to be that high. Nonetheless, he didn't say anything to her. Okay, period. End of that section. So that section of Gemara begins with Beis and Beis. And the question is, will the Rabbanon ever be masking? Will they ever agree that the schach can be higher than 20? And we have three opinions according to Rav. Yes, when the walls reach the schach. Yes, when it's bigger than 4x4 amos. Yes, when it's bigger than 7x7 tefachim. Now those are mutually exclusive concepts, but, so we have to work that out. How could Rav have said all three? The Gemara does not deal with that. But the Gemara does try to reject one of them. The Gemara says, how could it be? Queen sitting in such a small sukkah. My answer is, yeah. She personally is in such a small area, but the children maybe were not. So we didn't really knock anything out over here. So when all the dust settles, Pashup Shad and the Gemara, where are we holding? That it could very well be that what? Can a sukkah ever be higher than 20? Can a schach ever be higher than 20? Yeah. In what scenario? Well, maybe all three. When the walls reach the schach, okay, maybe Rabbanan would agree. When the walls are more than 4x4 amos, maybe the Rabbanan would agree. When it's 7x7 tefachim,
that makes sense.
What do you mean?
It can have to be lower. If you agree that it's above 4x4 amos,
yeah,
then it could be
higher than 20 amos.
So 7x7, it can't be.
But there is an opinion that held, right? That once it's bigger than 7x7 tefachim, it could be higher than 20.
Didn't we say that and that no one else held that opinion?
Okay. Rav Tana who Palit. Rav calls it can be a Tana when we have to say he is. I thought you were going to ask a better question. I thought you were going to ask Rashi's question.
Yeah.
What's Rashi's question? Do you see Rashi? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. You see Rashi? You got it? What are the first two letters? What's the first two words of Rashi? Who says V'im Toimar? That's a Tosfos Kasha. You know what I mean by that? V'im Tomar means, and if you'll say like this, I'll answer you like this. V'im Tomar, how does Tosa say, what's the answer then? Yesh?
Lomar.
V'im Tomar, Yesh Lomar. So this is Rashi not explaining what it means, Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rashi asking a Tosos question. What does Rashi ask? V'im Tomar. You know what I mean by that, right? Their styles. Let me just explain in case that's misleading. Rashi's purpose in Shas is basically to do what? What's Rashi doing in Shas? He's explaining. He's called the classic Mifarish. He's explaining the Gemara. So whenever Rashi has a Dibur Hamaschil, you expect him to do what? Translate it. If there's a difficulty in the concept, explain the concept. But not to say, but wait a minute, what are you going to say about this? And what about the Masechus over there? This is something different. Like, that's not what you expect from Rashi. But that is the goal of Tosfos. Tosfos does also sometimes explain things if he didn't agree with Rashi. Sometimes Tosfos says something similar to Rashi. You have to ask yourself, like, didn't he have Rashi? You know. Okay, so those you got to work out. But most of the time, Tosfos' goal, his agenda, is to allow you to have the bigger picture of Shas, because, well, how does this work with the Gemara over there? And Tosfos will say, well, what are you going to do about this problem that comes up? So that's the Rashi he does here. That's why I call it a Tosfos Rashi. V'im Tomar, and if you'll say, the Rav Chanan, okay, what did Rav Chanan say? D'moiki plukta b'she'ena machzekes elekedei roishoi ruba v'shulchanan, who was oikim, who established the machloikes whenever the sukkah is only 7 by 7 tefachim, enough to hold head and most of the body and a little table. Okay, so that's what Rashi is saying now. So let's focus on that for a minute. So let's just chazer in our heads. So that approach said that as long as the sukkah walls are more, the area of your sukkah is a little bit bigger than 7 by 7 tefachim, you could picture this, right? That's pretty small. A tefach is this, right? 7 tefachim, that's very little. It's tiny. So as long as the area is more than 7 by 7 tefachim, so then the schach can be higher than 20. Everyone agrees to that. If it's exactly 7 by 7 tefachim, so then it can't be higher than 20. What if the walls are less than 7 by 7 tefachim? Then everyone holds its puzzle because the sukkah can't be that small.
We realize so if it's 7 by 7, that's when it can be over 20.
If it's more than 7 by 7 tefachim, then you can start to raise the level of the schach. And everyone agrees to that, says Rav, according to Rav Chanan. So that's what we're going to work with for a minute. So let's focus on that. Rav Chanan held, as long as the area is a little bit more than 7 by 7 tefachim, then everyone agreed the schach can be higher than 20 hamas. So what's the case here in this braisa, Helani Hamalka, according to that? She's sitting in a kitonius, in a little area, that's how big? Exactly
7 by 7.
Because that's when Rabbi Yehuda says to the Rabbanon, but that's good. You see, that's good. Right? And once it's a little bit bigger than 7 by 7, then the Rabbanon agree it's good. So it has to be that this case, Rashi's like, you want me to believe that this case is where the Queen Helen, is sitting in an area that's 7 by 7 tefachim exactly with how many kids? 7. I mean, it's a small world after all, but it's not that small. So Rashi writes like this. Hacha, here, kevan dibone hagabo havya la gedoyla. If her sons are with her, then it has to be a larger sukkah. Umodu barabana. And the rabbana are going to agree that it's kasher. Umay raya shel Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the proof for Rabbi Yehuda that he's right and they're wrong? And here's our Yesh Leimar. Yesh loymar. Deshulchana b'soicha suka hagedayla haisa. Okay, so we got to picture this. So the basic picture, I got to get markers, is that you have the sukkah has walls here. Well, the sukkah has regular walls. So this, imagine the whole desk is basically this sukkah. But part of the walls of this sukkah come in and have an indentation here where she is going to be sitting. She's sitting at a little indentation here. Almost like an Aron Kodesh in front of a shul. Imagine you have a picture in the shul, there's an Aron Kodesh in the front. So how big is Aron Kodesh? So imagine that Aron Kodesh is deep enough to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. That's what Sefer Torah goes. There's no paroicha, there's nothing in front of it. So that's a little area where she's sitting. So Rashi says you can't fit 7 kids there. So the answer is, suggests Rashi, in the beginning here, that there's a table right in front of that area that she's sitting in. Okay. Ubone al hashulchan hayu yoshvim. Her children are sitting on the table. Roshan v'ruban, their head, most of their bodies, and there's a table because they're sitting on it. Right? What?
Maybe they just forgot to put another digit
and
then say 17.
17, maybe. The problem is it appears too many times for that to happen. But we also never saw the 7-12 event. I made that up because that's what it's going to be. But it's really Rosh HaRushulchan. That's the Shir. She is Rosh HaRushulchan. V'lokim esubim like zukufin. And they weren't leaning and they weren't standing. They were like sitting up on the table right outside, you know, where she is. You have to ask, what did we gain? Well, I don't know about that, but Rashi seems to be trying to work out how you can have a scenario where you have 7 kids in 7 tefachim. What typo?
It
does not
say translating the words again.
Where? Which one? Oh, okay. Could be. You can reject the whole story.
Yes.
Okay. Veli nira. Yes, that's what's bothering us.
Everyone gets an amma, no more. That's it. No more.
An amma would be better. A tefach is impossible. Veli nira. Rashi says, it appears to me. He thinks, no, forget it. I'm not going to try to work out tables and kids outside, inside. No, no. This is a kasha Rav Chana. And the Gemara is only answering according to Rav Huna for before Amos. It's impossible. The Gemara doesn't even bother going back to Rav Chana because it's obviously impossible. There's no mistake. It's just Rav Chana is obviously not correct. That's just wrong. V'chein Ikar, and he thinks that's the essential pshat. The shiur roish haruvay amrin al kamon. This is where I got it from. That the shiur of roish haruvay shachanay. The Gemara says later in el zayin tvachin. Shiva tvachin. Ve'yev shar l'shiva banim shiva tvachin. Can't have 7 kids in 7 tvachin. It's just not. It's just rejected. Pasha. So that's different than what I said a minute ago. When I asked you, when the dust settles. So what will the Rabbanan say? When can you have a schach that's higher than 20 amis? So we said 3 scenarios. When the walls reach the schach, when the area is more than 4 bavramis, and when the area is more than 7 tvachim, according to that opinion. Says Rashi, absolutely not. 7 by 7 tvachim, rejected. Can't be. Rejected by this story. So that's important. Tosis does not agree with Rashi. Tosis, the top Tosis, lo nitzach al kitonah shabba. Moshe dochak bekuntris l'Rav Chanan b'Rabba. The fact that Rashi was doichek, he pushed, a bad answer. Impossible. Love pirchi. It's not a kasha. Why not? The dilma aruka tuva. It could be it's aruka tuva. It could be that the sukkah that she was in, the room that she was in, was 7 tvachim, but that's just one dimension. But who says it has to be only 7 in the other direction? Maybe it was much longer in the other direction. It was aruka tuva. The width was 7. And her children were sitting at the length. It was a long area. It was just 7 tefachim deep, that's all. Very narrow. Very narrow, but it was long enough to fit them all. Why didn't Rashi say that? Rashi was assuming Rosh Rosh Hashanah is 7x7 in both directions. This is as a chiddush that it's not in all the directions. It's not 7x7 according to Tosis. Could be a lot longer. Well, but then why wouldn't everyone agree to that? So Tosis is a big chiddush. You got to work out why Tosis thought that is what we've been discussing in so much. To fit 7 kids in 7 twelve. Everyone assumes that what we have in our Masorah is current. So you got to figure out it. You can't just say when you're learning something that, well, it's probably just a mistake. You could say that. The problem is you might be missing a lot of information because you might just be on the wrong track when you suggest that. It could be that this is correct and you have to force yourself to understand it in some way. So that's what the Gemara always does. We're never going to just reject something out of hand just like that 1, 2, 3. First of all, that's really a mistrust of the Masorah. But second of all, you really may miss something in what's going on over here. Chazal are saying, this is a possibility I figured out. What? Well, in this case, there was something was misheard because Rabbanan feel that their children were not with her. And Yehuda's children were with her. So it wasn't clear exactly what the scenario was. But certain elements everyone seems to have agreed with. The Rabbanan could very well have said, that's not true. That would have been the easiest answer. They knew it was true. They're masking it was true. There's a certain details that didn't get passed on so clearly. Okay, but in any case. It says you could learn the last one also. It could be that the Gemara is saying Rochanan is correct. And as long as the sukkah is more than 7 in width, I guess, then it could be higher than 20. Because we're talking about a case that was exactly 7x7. What do you mean 7x7? Well, the width was 7, but the length was a lot longer than 7. So it assumes that that's also called a sukkah katana. That's not what we've been assuming.
How is it considered a sukkah katana?
Because it's so narrow.
It's narrow, but I have a wall that's much longer, so it's 7 really by...
Yeah, so you got to figure that out. That's a huge chiddush by Tosfos. So that needs to be explained. But that's the Machlokes Rashi Tosfos. Okay, now the Gemara starts a new piece. What we're going to get involved with now is also, we're going to have to figure out, we'll let the Gemara speak for itself, but just to give a little bit of an introduction, so first things first, everybody knows we don't pass them like Beis Shammai, right? Do you ever remember in Brachis, V'shach b'cha v'kumecha, Meshach b'chamecha means what? There's sleepy time and wakey time, you know? Meshach b'cha means you're supposed to say Shema at a certain time at night. B'chamecha, you have a certain time in the morning. After that, it's too late. You missed your chance. Does it mean you have to actually say Shema in lying down positions or in waking up positions? So B'shamay says, yeah. B'shamay says that you have to say Shema in a sleeping position. And in the morning, you have to say Shema in a wakey position. Yeah, it's a chumrah. So the Gemara has that story about Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon said Shema like that, and he risked his life to do it. They said, "Well, yeah, you deserve to die, man, for violating the words of Beis Hillel and passing Beis Shammai." Everybody knows Beis Shammai. We welcome Beis Hillel and Mishnah. You don't pass them like Beis Shammai. Tosis, by the way, has a list of when we do, but that's the Tosis over here. There are certain exceptions, but well, that's in Tosis. But that's one point in this Gemara. But the Gemara is going to zero in on this idea of Roishoi Rubo V'Shulchanai. What is the smallest sukkah? So here we go. You ready? Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said, Halacha Tzricha Shetei Machzekes Roishoi Rubo V'Shulchanai. The halacha is, this is the way we paskin, that your sukkah, the smallest one, has to be enough to hold 3 things. Your head, your most of your body, and your table. So that means you could be leaning in your sukkah. Maybe it's not big enough to actually sit in, but you can be leaning as long as it holds most of your body, you're good. It's good enough. And you have to also have a table. Now, if you'll ask me why, so we can make like a hashkafic point out of it, that your temporary dwelling for sukkahs must include your shulchan for some reason, what it means to recognize that your food comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We could make a drasha out of this. But so far, we're going to treat it just as a technical thing, that apparently there is a shigur. If you want to know how the smallest the sukkah can be, it must be big enough to hold Rosh Aru v'shulchan. By the way, what do you have to do in your sukkah? Do you have to eat in your sukkah? The answer is, yeah, that's one of the things you have to do in your sukkah, is eat in your sukkah. Maybe that's why it's essential that the table has to be in the sukkah. It has to be enough room to be leaning with the table. Yeah.
So it has to be in your table, and how big does the table have to be?
Doesn't sound like it has to be very big, just enough to hold your sandwich, I don't know. Who says that's too very big? You're saying, well, then what kind of shear is that?
Yeah, like it's not very precise.
Yeah. So let's see. That's a very good argument to start us off. Like, if so what's the table? Are you giving me dimensions here, or you're giving me suggestions about how to eat? Eat at the table! You always tell my kids.
Also, not everyone's
the same size. Yeah. So we'll have to take that. That we would just assume is like, you know, we'll take an average, you know, like a typical person. Okay, but let's see. So Rosh Moshe Yitzchok says the halacha is that it has to be big enough to hold Rosh Aruba Vashulchan. Amar le Rabbi Abba Kiman. Like who? Who says such a thing? Kibbe Shammai? Beis Shammai? That's Beis Shammai's opinion. What in the world? Amalei? Elegema? Yeah, okay. Sorry. Tough luck. Who else would it possibly be? That's Beis Shammai. Ike de Amri, those that say that the conversation happened a little differently. Amar Rabbi Abba. Amar Lechamani? Who says such a thing? Amalei? Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says it. Eloi says Uzmina. And don't swerve from it. Don't move from it. That's the way we're basking. Don't give me a hard time. Okay. Either way. Maskif la Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak had a maskif. What's maskif? What kind of kash this is? An attack question. He has an attack question. Okay, what's his attack? Mimai de beishamai u beisila basukka ketana pligi. You're assuming that Rosh Aruva Shulchanai is only the opinion of beishamai. Because apparently beisila would say something different. Like what? Like, for example, all you need is Rosh Aruva. You don't need enough room for your table. Maybe that's what Beis Hillel would say. So, if that's the case, how do you know that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about this? Maybe everyone really agrees about the dimensions of a sukkah. Mimaydi Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel basukkah kitana pligi. How do you know that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai pligi means to split? Dorha flaga means the generation of the dispersion of the split. Plag hamincha, it means half. Pligi means to split. So we translate it as a machlekes. Because that's what it means to split, to argue, to divide. So, Besukkah Kitana Pligi, how do you know that they argue over the smallest dimensions of a sukkah? Dilma, perhaps, Besukkah Gedoyla Pligi. Perhaps they argue over a sukkah Gedoyla. What do you mean a sukkah Gedoyla? Meaning they're not arguing over dimensions. They're arguing over how you have to eat in your sukkah. I'm going to tell you a point of lumdis for a second. You remember how at our first drasha of the year, President Rabbi Dr. Berman, see, he asked an interesting question. If you remember, he said that on the one hand, we know that a sukkah is not, according to one opinion, is not supposed to be a permanent structure. It has to be a temporary structure. On the other hand, we find that you have to treat your sukkah like it's your permanent house for sukkahs. So how can it be that you're permanent in the sukkah and at the same time it's a temporary dwelling? So the answer was obvious, right? But the way I'll say it is because there's a difference between the temporary nature of the cheftza, the object here, the cheftza sasukkah, has to be temporary. But the way in which you live in it, your mitzvah, the mitzvah hagavra, the mitzvah of the individual, the way that he accomplishes his mitzvah of sukkah, has to be in a permanent way for sukkahs. So I'm going to distinguish between two things here. Cheftza and gavra, classic Brisker lumbers. There's a difference between the cheftza, the object of the sukkah, which has to be defined as temporary, at least according to that opinion, and your mitzvah of yeshivas ha-sukkah, the way that you have to live in the sukkah. The way in which you have to live in the sukkah has to be a permanent way. You have to be able to live in it for 7 days. You have to live in it for 7 days. Good. Now, what this Gemara is suggesting is, there is everyone knows there's a machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. And everyone knows that machlokes has to do with a table being in a sukkah. That everyone agrees to. But how do you know that's a machlokes over the dimensions of the cheftza? Maybe they argued over how you have to eat in your sukkah. What am I talking about? Dilma basukkah gedoyla pligi. Perhaps they argue over sukkah gedoyla kagoyin. For example, The Yasiv, that's Yashiv, right? That he's sitting apuma on the opening at the mouth, the metalalasa. That's Aramaic for sukkah. The case is you have a guy, it's a big sukkah, big sukkah. He's sitting in the doorway. So picture it, right? You can picture your sukkah. Picture your sukkah. You're sitting right at the doorway. And you got one of those like sliding doors, right? Your sukkah is flush up against your sliding door. So you open up the sliding door. You're sitting in the sukkah. And you put your table in the house. And you're going to eat. Now, I don't know how you eat. I know how my kids eat. I know how I eat. I eat like this. Over the table. So the crumbs get on the table. Get on, you're getting the crumbs on the floor. The kids insist they have to eat back here with their feet on the table and they have to eat over, right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Anyway, so they're not eating over the table. I like to eat over the table. I heard that by Hasidic Rebbes, they're makpid to bring the food to them and never bring themselves to the food. Okay. But maybe the case is where the person is sitting in the sukkah, but he's at the doorway. And his table's in the house. We make a gzeira. You're not allowed to do that. Meaning your table has to be in the sukkah. We make a gzeira. Shema yimashich achar shulchanai, lest he be drawn after his table. And he's going to end up eating in the house. We do not make such a gzeira. We allow him to eat with his table in the house. We expect he'll eat properly. He'll bring the food to himself in the sukkah. Okay. Now, if we were really learning this b'iyun, we'd spend time. We would do what the Gemara is doing, but we would work it out in our mind. So we're going to go a little bit faster. So just try to figure out what the Gemara is doing, and we'll go over it again tomorrow. V'dikanami, I'm going to make a diyuk. I'm going to prove it to you by a form of extrapolation. I'm going to make a diyuk that that's what they argue about. Dikatani. What's dikatani? We learn in Mishnah. Misha haya roishai meruba v'sukkah. A person whose head and most of his body's in the sukkah. V'sholchanai v'sayich habayis. And his table's in the house. V'shamai poislin v'silo machshirin. Beisil Shammai says, no way. The table has to be in the sukkah. Beisil Machshirin Beisil says, it's fine. So, isn't it obvious, linguistically, that they're arguing over when the table's in the house? And it's a question not of the dimensions of the sukkah, but it's a question of how you're allowed to eat in your sukkah. Isn't it clear? V'imisa, if you're right, that they argue over a sukkah kitana, the dimensions of the smallest sukkah of Inisa, and if you're right, machazekes ve'ina machazekes mivoyile. The language of the Mishnah should have been, if his sukkah can hold his table, or it cannot hold his table, is what they're arguing about. Machazekes versus what? Poslin and machshirin. Or Misha Haya Rosh, Misha Haya. That's really the question, right? Not Misha Haya Rosh, Misha Ruba Shulchan. It's not Misha Haya. It's a person who has to be like that because the sukkah doesn't hold it any differently. Not Misha, who guy who was eating in this way. Should have said that's impossible to eat any other way because the dimensions of the sukkah. Okay, so that's the argument. So if that's true, then who says that? Rosh Ruba Shulchan, Beisil, Beishamai, who says anybody argues about that? Maybe everyone agrees. The smallest sukkah, Rosh Hashanah, I don't know. Maybe everyone agrees. Okay. When it answers or responds, sukkah kitana lepligi. In a small sukkah, they don't argue. V'hatanya, but didn't we learn in a brisa? Get ready for this word. Machzekes roishoi verubai v'sholchanoi ksheira. If the sukkah holds his head, most of his body, and his table, it's kasher. Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi says, Ad sheba arba amos al arba amos. No way. The smallest a sukkah can be, there's 4 amos by 4 amos. So what? V'tanya idach. We have another brisa. Rebbe Oimer kol sukkah. Same Rebbe. Rebbe Nasi. The same one that just said a sukkah has to be what? 4x4 amas. The same Rebbe says, Kol sukkah she'ein ba 4 amas la 4 amas psula. Any sukkah is not 4 amas or 4 amas is pasul. Good. Rebbe's consistent. V'chachamim ma'imrim, but the chachamim say, afilu eina machzekes ela roishai v'rubai. What's the next word supposed to be? Shulchan is missing. Ela roishai v'rubai k'sheira. Vilu shulchanai loy katani. And the shulchan doesn't say nusha. So what happened over here? You have Rebbe responding to two different braises. In one braise, Rebbe is responding to a sukkah. Small sukkah could be Rosh Hashanah. Rebbe says, no way, 4x4 amas. And the other braisa, the other opinion holds that a sukkah has to be Rosh Hashanah. And Rebbe says, no, it has to be 4x4 amas. Wait, why is the opinion arguing with Rebbe different in one braisa and the other? It's inconsistent. Kashin Ahadad, the two braisas are a difficulty on one another. It's not consistent. Elalav, isn't it true? Shema Mino, you see from here, Habe Shammai, Habe Hillel, that the braisa that says Rosh HaBeruva Shulchanai is the smallest sukkah, that's Beshammai. And the braisa that says Rosh HaBeruva is enough, that's Beshillel. Pashut, and that's the answer. It's not a discrepancy. It's one braisa is reflecting Beshammai, and one braisa is reflecting Beshillel, and Rabbi Yehuda argues with both of them. So, obviously, Beshul and Shammai must be arguing over Sukkah Ketan. Now, it's a suggestion to resolve a braisa, right? That's not, like, glot, you know? Like, it could be we could come up with a different way to distinguish, right? So it's not like a tiyu, like, it's not... But it does indicate that there must be, you have to answer that. So, Amar Mar Zutra, Masnisa Nami Dika. The truth of the matter is, you can be medayik that they argue over a sukkah ketana from the Mishnah that we quoted originally. How so? Midikatani beshamai poislin ubeisalal machshirin. Because the way that it expresses itself is that beshamai says pusel and beisalal says kasher. Vim isa, and if you're right, beshamai omrim la yotza ubeisalal omrim yotza mivoile. It should have said Yotze or not Yotze. Okay, let's think this through so we can understand. If you back up to the Mishnah for a minute, you see where it says Dekatani. Misha Hayo, Rosh Ruva Sukkah V'Shulchan V'Sachabayas. A person who's eating in a manner where he's at the doorway. Isn't that how we explained it? And his table is in the house. B'Shamai Poislin? What do you mean? Apostles what? The table? What do you mean, pasels it? Do you hear the question? If I tell you, you did a shechita, I say, shechita is pasel. So it means that the thing's not kosher. If I tell you, your mezuzah, your tefillin, are pasel. So you could say, you're not yotze, but that's a consequence of them being pasel. Whether you're yotze or not, has to do with your actions. But pusel or kasher has to do with the... What's the fancy word I'm going to use? Come on. Yes, but what's the fancy word? The code word. The cheftza. Has to do with the cheftza. The object. Are you with me on that? You agree? No? Not convinced? Kasher and pusel has to do with the object. Yotze, or eno yotze, has to do with the way that you used it. Were you Yotze? You're not Yotze. Yeah, did you hear that?
Yeah.
So that's what the Gemara says. You can be medayik that they argue over a sukkah ketana from the fact that it says pusel and machshirin. Pusel and machshirin. Because if you're right, Beisham Erin la Yotza. Beisham Erin la Yotza mi vayle. Should have said he's Yotze or not Yotze if they're talking about him sitting at the doorway and how he's eating in the wrong way with pusel. You know, he's not Yotze. Should have. He's not talking about how he's eating. He's talking about the cheftza as a sukkah because it says poislin and machshirin. So of course the Gemara shoots back right away and says ve'el akashya misha haya. But then it's going to be a question because the way that the Mishnah said it was misha haya. He who was eating with his head and most of his body in the sukkah. What do you mean misha haya? It should have said machzekes, reina machzekes, not Misha Haya. Mishai is talking about the person. So there's like a contradiction. There's an inherent contradiction in the Mishnah. On the one hand, it's talking about the way in which he's sitting in the sukkah, but the way that it responds to the way he's sitting in the sukkah is by saying, pasul, kosher. But you don't speak at the way the person is doing it. You put on your tefillin. The tefillin could be pasul. But would I tell you that the way you put your tefillin on were pasul? It doesn't make any sense. You didn't say the way you did it was pasul. You weren't yotze. That's how you say it. So it's a problem either way. So the Gemara says, you're right. La'olam. What's the translation? La'olam. La'olam. Really? Vitarti pligi. They argue over both. Pligi b'sukkah katana, u'pligi b'sukkah gedoyla. They argue over us. Big sukkah, meaning how you eat in it. And they argue over the minimum dimensions of a small sukkah. V'chasuri mechasra, v'hachi katani. You know this phrase? What's chaser? Missing. Chasuri mechasra. It is surely missing a line. V'hachi katani. And this is how it should be taught. Misha haya, right? That's talking about his yeshiva sukkah. Misha haya roish v'ruba v'sukkah. V'shulchane v'sukkah v'ayis. V'shamei oimrim. Loi yatsa. Ubeisel oimrim? Yatsa. Visha'ena machazekes. But if we're talking about a different case where the sukkah cannot hold Ella only, kidei roisha ruva, enough for his head and most of his body alone, but not his table. Beishamai poislin, ubeisel machshirin. Okay. I'm going to stop there. You know, I'm totally with the Amud, but that's a new sugya. Are there any questions, basic questions, and we go over it again, tomorrow, whatever. Yeah.
Why do we care about, the height of sugya? Why is it making a difference?
Well, that's part of the Gemara that I was asking originally. What's the goal? So the three opinions on Amud Aleph, so they're saying, is the goal to see the schach? Is the goal to get shade? Is the goal that it should be a temporary structure? Those are the three ways to look at it. Okay, we are going to take a break. At 12:15, we are going to start with halacha.